Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast. Festival for more details.
Welcome to Checking In with Michelle Williams, a production of iHeartRadio and The Black Effect. Hey, you guys, I'm bringing somebody on the show today because he just is such a great example of not giving up, a great example of staying the course, believing in yourself. So I'm going to make sure that these next conversations that you guys hear are leaning more into that direction of you making sure that you don't bend, you don't cower, and that you don't lose who you are authentically. Now, we will grow and we will evolve, and you know, some of those rough edges will be smoothed out a little bit, but it will still be you. A lot of us, you know, we don't want to grow, or we'll say, this is just who I am. No, some of it is not who you are. Some of your responses, some of our behaviors have been because maybe you've been hurt a lot in the past. You've been rejected. You've been abandoned. You've been overlooked. You know, we can kind of heal through all that and clear all that rubble from around our heart. We'll realize that that's not who we are. That God has created is for something far more greater. So our next guest is going to really help us tune in and check in with our hearts, who we want to be, and what it is that we truly want to do in life. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I am good. Okay, I'm corny today because I'm wearing a beanie.
Look at you. I'm not wearing
in
a beanie.
In honor of you.
I know. I should have had a beanie. I should have had a beanie. I wish I'd have got the note. I should be wearing. That's on brand. I should be wearing my beanie.
It's okay. But you guys, you know, just when God has been good to people, their greetings are different. Their posture is different. Because God has been so good in PJ's life. I first was introduced to you, I want to say in 1999, I believe it was, through Algebra Blissett.
Mm-hmm.
Can you recall that? Was it that long ago?
It probably was around there because I moved to Atlanta in the end of 99, 2000. So it probably was around there. And I met Algebra soon as I got to Atlanta. I was like, who are these people, these talented people?
Okay.
So that makes sense. Yeah. I didn't remember that it was Algebra first, but
it was that for me, mm-hmm. I believe it was Algebra. I remember, I think you might have been having a show or something in Atlanta that I really wanted to try to make it to. Because I remember that was the for early years of me being in Destiny's Child. And
right.
So,
and also shout out to Algebra, because I did my very first, I mean, as a singer, I did my very first show opening up for Algebra.
That's what it was.
And Low 5 Points. Yeah. And Low 5 Points, my first show ever. My dad was there. He was like, who is this? Because I was this shy guy. Like, I was scared to sing. I was always okay to play. But he was like, who are you? Like, well, you're singing and you're like talking? Yeah. But yeah.
I Wow. See, I didn't know that. You're probably giving us listeners something that we didn't know. You guys, I'm just smiling from ear to ear because, like I said, so we'll say the year 2000 for sure. Mm-hmm. All the way up to now in 2022, your trajectory of success. And I know you had some, which we didn't see, I'm sure, some hidden lows.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we are just excited, y'all, to have y'all. I didn't even do a proper introduction. We are excited to have a multi-Grammy award-winning artist, songwriter, producer, musician, as well as founder and CEO of Morton Records, whose latest project, Gospel According to PJ, actually earned him a Grammy Award in 2021 for Best Gospel Album. Yeah. Y'all probably already heard me say his name. Come on in. Give it up for PJ Morton.
Thank you. You always make me laugh.
I was supposed to do that first, but when you know people, you just started kind of getting into conversation. Yeah. But I was like, no. He deserves us to rattle off his accolades and everything musically. In preparation for this interview, I was listening to one of my favorite albums. And I just love Son of a Preacher Man, Mountains Out of Molehills, Please Don't Walk Away From Me. Okay. And yes, of course, Everything in 2021.
Yes, they Walk Alone album, though, huh?
Come on, absolutely. And I also want to make mention of you actually also being a member of Maroon 5.
That's right. Yeah.
Come on. So
much stuff is coming back. I'm going to let you do your thing. But I remember being in Europe somewhere and you coming to see Maroon 5 perform. And you introduced me to Quincy Jones that night. It was so crazy.
Oh, snap.
And I think freaking Rod Temperton was there. You brought me to a place. Wow. And Quincy started talking. Man, okay, I'll let you do your thing. But
when you said Maroon 5,
but that just brought me back because we just happened to be in London. Yeah.
People love being nosy. So let's just talk as if this is not an interview. But yes. Okay.
Yes. Thank you for introducing me to one of my heroes, Quincy Jones. I was in London. I think it was London. And
it was.
And you happened to be in town. And I was like, well, come to this Maroon show. And then you were like, all right, we'll come to this dinner. And I didn't know who was there, but it was Quincy and then Rod Temperton. And I'm like, what is going on? Yeah, it was crazy. And Quincy started, as he does, he's a gift. You don't even have to start asking him about that stuff. He started talking about Michael. He started talking about Paul McCartney. I couldn't believe it was happening. But yeah, that was early on too. Maybe my first year at Maroon 5. Yeah, that was 2010. Listen,
I think I was in London doing Chicago the Musical
time. That's right.
Have a good friend over there, and her father owns a restaurant. And I think Quincy Jones is really good friends with that family.
Great memory in my mind.
Yeah. Such a great memory. And if I think he talked about Billie Holiday
Maybe he was rattling off.
Sheesh. Yes, sir.
Such a legend.
Yes, sir. And so I want to go back. Okay. So you were born in New Orleans. Okay.
Yes.
Graduate of Morehouse.
That's right. Marketing degree.
Marketing degree and is a full-time musician. But I'm going to assume you've been using some of that marketing degree and how you've been handling
the
projects lately. I think you have been nonstop and very inspirational on how to market. You've been going at this a long time, PJ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What has kept you going? Because had you quit, we would probably just be texting. Wouldn't be this.
No.
Why'd you keep going? How?
And quitting entered my mind so many times. I mean, like at so many points in this, you know, like you said, I have been doing it a very long time, even a songwriter, you know, before the artist stuff. My first placement as a songwriter was 15 years old. So I was in it for a long time.
Yes.
And wanted to quit plenty of times. I will say one thing was just purely the love. Like I just genuinely love this. I love music. I love creating things from scratch. I love presenting things to people. I love the road, you know, some things about it, but but I love playing to people. I mean, that part that just never gets old to me. And really, I just knew that if I quit, you know, I always tell people like you're a finger, you know, like if you don't do what you're supposed to do, or if you're trying to copy this person, or if you're trying to follow a wave, then you're missing all those people that you're designed to touch, you know. And I just knew in the back of my mind, even when it was hard, and I'm like, man, people don't get me, but I have to do this, because if I don't, then nobody will, because nobody can be me, you know, nobody can be exactly me. And that just kept pushing me. I just knew there was a greater purpose. And I just, every time, you know, my wife Courtney can tell you, I'll be like, one day, like, it's over, and then she'll be like, the next day I'll be like, all right, I got it. Let's go. I mean, let's go. All right. Reset. You know what I mean? I've had to do that many times. Yeah. Oddly enough, like the album that kind of turned things around for me, Gumbo, when I moved back to New Orleans, was supposed to be my last album. I mean, I told everybody that. Yeah. I was like, because I left L.A. I had written Claustrophobic in L.A. And I'm like, yo, I'm out of here. Like, this is just like too much. And I said, what I'm going to do is make an album that I want to hear. I don't care if it sells anything. I don't care if it works on radio. And that was Gumbo. And it just taught me a big lesson of, well, maybe I shouldn't have been cerebral about it anyway. Maybe I should have been at this whole time saying, just make what you want to make. Just make what you love. And sure enough, that one connected. And it was like, oh, wow, I was about to end on this, you know? So yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Y'all, if y'all go on a music platform and you can see his albums. So Gumbo was 2017.
Mm-hmm.
But you got something on here from 2006.
Yeah.
Emotions.
Well, Emotions, my first album. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if it was something that somebody threw on there that you didn't know about.
No, no. Emotions. No, Emotions. Yeah. Emotions was my very first album. I came off a tour with Erykah Badu. That was like the first
okay.
thing. Yeah.
So let's go along this timeline.
Okay.
2006. Then you had Walk Alone about 2010.
That's right. Yeah. They Must Not Have Live in LA on there. That was 08.
Then there's something that says 2013, New yep. Orleans.
That's my Young Money album, my only major label album. Yep.
Bounce and Soul Volume 1, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gumbo 2017.
Mm-hmm. Bouncing Soul was when I moved home. I was like, I didn't want to do music. I came home. I moved to New Orleans to start a sneaker store. I was just done with music. And I said, well, you know what? Bounce music. I don't take that seriously. You know, that's what we grew up on. I'm like, let me get Juvenile and Manny Fresh and Trombone Shorty. I got all of New Orleans together, moved home. And I was like, not thinking. I'm like, just having fun. And that is really what popped me out of my slump of like not wanting to do music. You know, like letting go and like just having fun, not overthinking anything, actually put me in my place where I'm like, all right, I do want to make music, wow. You know? Yeah.
That's so good. Yeah. Y'all, the reason why I went on his timeline, because he's saying 2017 is when it really jumped off for him, right? And 06, that's like 11 years of still going and trying. And before you released Gumbo, you almost quit. There are lyrics in that song, Claustrophobic, where you say, someone told you, can you like cuss a little more? Can you be a little more thug?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not quite street enough. Yeah, thug life, my name. yeah, right.
The audacity.
Yeah. And it was said so many different ways, you know, some of it was unspoken. Like when I was on Young Money, nobody asked me to be that, but it was like, you're in this crew. And I think, thankfully I was confident enough to just be myself, but like, I could just feel people wanting me to be different. You know, I remember a specific meeting I took that sparked me writing Claustrophobic. And in that meeting, this guy asked me if I was cool with DJ Mustard or if like, have I ever gone in with DJ Mustard. And I'm like, I haven't, but like, have you listened to my music at all? You know what I'm saying? Like, Or am I one size fits all? Like Mustard was on a run at that time. So I get it, right? That's what these labels do. They like, all right, who's hot? Let's go. Let's get them and plug and play. And I'm like, do you even care? Like, what, you know what I'm saying? You just want a hit song. And that's why I was like, yo, I just was born in the wrong era or something. I was like, it's okay. Like, I'll write songs for people. I'll produce. But like, as an artist, I think I'm going to just chill, you know?
Yes. Thank God I didn't. Thank God you did not, because me and you ended up in a studio together with Warren Campbell, you know, for my very last project. We were trying to get something popping.
Yeah.
And we still can. We still can.
Of course. Of course, there's still time.
I don't have to put you on the spot right now. I don't want you to feel obligated. So I'm saying all that to say, to encourage listeners, you know, it might not happen in the first year. It might happen when you keep going in your fifth year or in your 10th year. Yeah. But when it happened for you, you were ready.
Man, was I ready? Like, you know, I mean.
You were over ready.
Yeah, we were all fully prepared. It's like, I mean, my whole squad, I mean, it's been the same guys too. I mean, my drummer, Ed, we had a band when I was like 12, you know, and he was 15, 14. We've been doing it a long time. And I guess I mentioned the live album saying that's not there because I did another live album right after my Young Money album called Live Show Killer. But what's so crazy is, and one of my favorite books, Tipping Point, talks about small changes that make big differences, right? And it's like, I didn't really change that much. Like when it happened, I didn't really do that much different. You know, it was like Gumbo came and then it became Grammy nominated. I didn't win that year, but I could tell that people were paying attention. So I was like, well, I'm going to do a live album, not something different. I always did them. This was my third live album. You know what I'm saying? But like, for some reason, it was time and it connected. And but I guess I say that to say, it's not always about like switching everything you're doing. It's more about staying persistent and consistent with what you're doing when you believe in it. You know, you got to be able to adjust. I have reinvented so many times in different ways, but the core remains the same, you know? And for some reason, this time it like lit fire and it just caught on, you know? But I didn't, I was like, why? What's happening? You know, I've been doing this like this, but yeah.
We're so glad you kept going. It was in that moment when you decided to be authentic, to be you.
Willie.
Mm-hmm. Walk Alone album, to me, I would think that was you.
Yeah, no.
You.
Yeah, yeah.
But it took 7 years from that moment, eight or longer from 2017. So I guess to encourage people, yo, continually be you. Somebody will grab hold to you, love you.
100%.
And there's room for you.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, Participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black businesses initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Backing track two, because I know a lot of listeners are like, you know, Michelle, I want to do this, but I'm in this. So yes, you grew up in a home where your parents are pastors. You're very well known. I mean, your father shifted a whole church movement. Your dad did that.
Yeah.
Your father did that, right? And so, of course, you're the talented son. Of course, it's normal to see you on the piano. You're in church. And then you're like, yeah, but I think I can do this outside the church. I can make impact outside the four walls.
Yeah.
What is your advice to people? Well, actually, y'all, it's in his song, Son of a Preacher Man. I guess you can listen to that. Because people say, Michelle, I want to pursue music other than gospel, or I want to pursue the arts, period.
Mm-hmm.
What made you say, Mom, Daddy, I love you, but I'll be right back? Just hold up. I'll be right back.
Right. I just kind of knew intuitively that there was more. And thankfully, you know, I had a father. My father's Canadian, right? So he came all the way to New Orleans. And
listen to that Lattice album. He tells you the story. So Detroit.
Yes, sir. Detroit, Windsor.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, my father understood out, you know, because he understood Motown. He was around that stuff. So he knew that there was more, which is why he was so cutting edge as far as Reformation with full gospel. And like, even we were the first church on TV. We were the first church on BET, you know, like all that type of stuff. My father was just ahead of the game in his thinking, which is why I got it honest, you know? So I knew there was more, but I think the key is not just wanting to bust out or be rebellious, because that's what, that's the blueprint I never had. Everybody I looked to, which is why it was like new ground for me to break. Everybody I looked to either was mad at the church, you know, and was like, I'm out. I'm about to do the wildest thing I can do. You know what I'm saying? But it was never anybody saying, you know what? I'm not putting that to the side. I'm not denouncing anything. I'm still going to remain who I am and keep my standards. But I want to talk about more. You know what I'm saying? And I knew that there was more. I just knew that there was more because the sky is blue. You know, like if I write about the sky being blue, it's not a gospel song, but it's God, you know.
And it's not going to send you to hell.
Yeah, it's not going to. No, talking about the blue sky is not going to send you to hell, nor is seeing a woman that you want to date and then eventually marry, you know, nor is writing about that going to send you to hell, because it's real life. It's literally real life, you know. So to talk about it, I don't see how that then turns it. That's why the book I wrote, Why Can't I Sing About Love? The song I wrote was Why Can't I Talk About Love? But when I wrote the book, I was like, no, it's never an issue to talk about it. It's when we turn it into a song that all of a sudden it became bad. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, you could talk about love. Oh, my wife. Oh, even the pastors, they get funny talking about what they're doing with their wife. But no, but if you sing about it, then it becomes, you know what I mean? So I just got that. And I was like, no, that's that. Those are the types of things didn't let me give up. You know, it's like, no, I gotta let people know this. That was my good news. Like, yo, y'all could live a whole life. You know what I'm saying? but for me, breaking out was, I started with the lowest hanging fruit. I didn't just break out. I was writing songs for the church albums. I was writing songs for my dad. You know, it was one thing after another. Then Men of Standard was my first placement outside of that. That's what made me feel like I was a real songwriter. I was 16. Jay Moss produced it. And then I left. I went to Atlanta. But all these were natural progressions. I think sometimes people just try to jump out as opposed to being like water and not fighting, but like flowing. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Wow. Well, I know you have tons of friends that love you. It's like you're just a light to everyone that is in your presence. And speaking of friends, this is why friends is so important. I'll never forget, I had a friend who called me one day and found my number in the bottom of a moving box. Just called the number to see if it was the same.
Wow.
And he was like, hey, I'm going on tour with Monica at 98 Degrees. And I was like, well, what you telling me for? If she needs a background singer, tell her holla at me.
Right.
Tell her I said hi. That was Freddie Moffitt. Do you remember him?
Wow. I do remember Freddie. Yeah, absolutely.
Rest in peace, by the way.
Much love to Freddie.
Lost his life, a couple months ago. So, y'all, I'm getting somewhere. Bear with me. You had a friend, Adam Blackstone.
I did, yeah.
That hit you about Maroon 5.
That's right.
Friends, y'all. It's so important.
Straight up friends. And the way it got to him was friends, right? So it's like, Maroon 5, the story is that Maroon 5 was going on a tour. They just had finished a record and were going on tour and wanted to change up their live show. So they reached out to Amir, to Questlove. And this is 12 years ago now. So they just had gotten, when I joined Maroon 5, they just had gotten Fallon. That's when they became the band on TV. And so Quest couldn't do it, obviously. And because of friendship, Quest was like, well, I got a friend, Adam Blackstone. He's a music director. Wow. He can help you. And so when he came in, they were like, yo, we need a keyboard player that can sing. And he's like, oh, I know. I got you covered. Like, what? I know the guy. And initially, it was just me. So he just sent me. He was like, you want to do it? And he would call me for gigs. I'm like, Black, I don't want to do no gigs. Like, I'm an artist. Oh. I don't really want a gig, you know. But at that time, I was so burnt out. And I knew that this was different. I knew this wasn't a gig. I knew this was a band that I would become a part of. And so I had at least enough insight to realize this is not just him calling me for a gig. Right. And so Black said, I know the guy. And then so they said yes. And then they were like, well, we don't know him. So let's just, can you set up some auditions? So my first audition in life. I mean, this is my first audition in life. I had never auditioned. And Maroon 5, by the way, had been a band since they were in eighth grade. So they had never done an audition. And so they told me to learn Sunday Morning. I mean, so simple, you know.
But oh, it was my gosh.
Yeah. So I played Sunday Morning. And they were like, well, what else you know? And so we started jamming for like 30 minutes. And they had people waiting for the audition. And so they had to see those people. They didn't tell me this till after, but they knew after me. I was first. And they canceled the second day of auditions, actually. And but that was purely friendship. I mean, I would have not, they didn't know me, you know, and Black didn't know them. So it was kind of like, but because of that friendship, he knew that I would show up for him. And he definitely showed up for me because that changed the trajectory of my life. Shout out to Black during the Super Bowl.
Listen, oh my gosh, I love that you were there first and last. Come on, first and only. Canceled second day of auditions. Your writing is true to life situations. Songs about, I don't want to go through your phone.
Yes, yes.
Real I don't want to lurk. But pass me your phone right quick. I'm going to just see something. No. You write about like real life to the point it's almost cringeworthy because all of us are guilty of, I don't want to go through your phone. I have gone through phones. I've gone through one.
Right. Sometimes that's all it takes to never do it again.
I went through one. Just one. I promise y'all I've only been through one. Okay, we know you as the amazing musician and writer, but you are a husband.
I am,
Come on, somebody. You are a father. How are you balancing all of that and still being relevant in music?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one. I kind of took the pandemic as a gift initially because I was so nonstop because my challenge is that, you know, especially if I'm in an album cycle, like if I just released an album and Maroon is also busy, I have to just fill in the gaps for mine. So that those years, I would say 3 years from Gumbo to Gumbo Unplugged to Paul, all of that, those 3 years, it was like, I knew it was crazy when I did a Maroon 5, we did a US tour. I went home for a day and then did a whole Japanese tour on my own. And I was like, man, I can't do this. And it wasn't until the pandemic that I stopped and said, oh my God, like, I'm so tired. Like, I didn't even realize, like, what in the world? Like, because I had to turn my brain off to do what I was doing. I could not think about it. Like, I literally had to just be a zombie and say, all right, come on, man. This is what you asked for your whole life. Let's go. Let's keep going. You know, I learned from my father, who was very busy back then. They used to do revivals, 5-night revivals, you know, and he would do 100 dates a year, my dad, you know. And so I did already understand how to be present. Okay. It's really about the quality time, not the quantity, because there are fathers who work 9 to 6 every day, you know, and they see their kids maybe when before school and after school for a second. But there's no quality.
They're not present. Yeah, they're not present.
They're just there. So I knew that from my father because when he was there. You know what I mean? So I never felt like, oh, my dad's gone so much. So that always gave me a little peace. But the pandemic gave me that in a different way and I needed it. I got to teach my two youngest how to ride bikes and like, you know, just really be in their lives in a different type of way. And so now moving forward, I've implemented things that just have to be different, you know, like tours, a month, not a month long. I do 2 weeks on, 2 weeks home, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks home, stuff like that, that I'm just really trying. You know, we were trying to experiment with the Thursday through Sunday and then go home like the country artists do. But like just finding new ways to make sure that we are balanced, you know, that I'm balanced with that because it was really tough. I mean, we made it through. We were doing all right, but But that's a challenge, you know, to juggle all of that.
Yeah. People also think that relationships are easy, perfect, or how about just marriage, period. Is there something you can share from your experience in marriage that can help relationships the most? Like one thing that you like, this is what keeps us solid, you and Courtney.
Well, for us specifically, is our friendship that has been our backbone. I don't know if it was on purpose because I was ready to go, but we dated for about 5 years. I just had gotten out of a relationship, but not dated that whole five, but we were forced to be friends and not fully lock in. And we really got to know each other on a different way. And I was also commuting. She was living in New Orleans. I was in Atlanta. And then Katrina brought her to Atlanta. And then we were really got to spend that type of time. But because we didn't have it before, it forced us to talk and communicate and be, you know what I mean? So now when it comes down to, or we have a crazy argument or something, it's like, all right, you're my friend. Like, let me, first of all, you know, because when you take that out, because sometimes I'm like, you give your friends more grace than you do your partners, you know, because you have less teeth and, you know, they have less in the game. But it's like, no, give me that grace. Like how you understand your friend did something really messed up or your friend. And you like, all right, you crazy. But no, give me, I want that grace. Yeah, like, give me that grace. But our friendship has been one thing. And freaking, I know it's said a lot and it's like almost cliche. But communication, like even when it's like you think you don't need to say it, you should say it. Like you should try to talk as much as possible and just get it out, because all you're doing is like getting that understanding. You're getting working your algorithm. You know, your algorithm gets better and better once you're like, okay, you don't like that. But I know that because you told me. And from the flip side, you can't assume that they're going to know what you're thinking or feeling, you know, no matter how long. I mean, we've been, like I said, 5 years. So Ja'Kai is 17, my oldest, like it's been since then. And, you know, and that was through marriage. Yeah, my oldest son. And so 13 years married, though, you know what I'm saying? And still to yesterday, you know what I'm saying? Like we can miss each other. You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
It can happen. I mean, you know,
it real. Thank you.
It's hard enough to keep yourself together, let alone trying to communicate with another human all the time and make sure they, you know what I mean? So it never stops that learning, but just the payoff of it is amazing. Cause then when it's hard and it's rough, and when I tell you, like when I want to give up, I got my friend there that knows and has been there and understands when I was up and like knows what the dreams are because we've communicated them. And it's like, woof. I would not want to be alone through all of this, you know, so that payoff of all that, of that work is just amazing, you know, and it makes me grateful, even for the hard times, because we always become better after that, you know.
That's so good. Yeah. So what I heard you say is you wouldn't want to lose your friend.
I wouldn't want to lose my friend. Yeah. Period.
Come on.
Yeah.
Wow. So friendship is, it's true when they say that has to be the foundation of relationship. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah.
I feel like you're private about that part of your life. And I don't pry when I know somebody is private. But at the same time, you are more than just amazing, accomplished musician that we know. There is another part of you that keeps you going as well. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I think, you know, part of it is Courtney's very private too, but we talk, and part of it for me is I'm careful. I know sometimes people, year one of marriage, they like having classes and like teaching. And
conference.
Like, you know what I mean? You know
guilty.
What I mean? Really? Well, I didn't even, but I mean, you get that feeling. But I think, and you feel like that, like, especially when you're fresh in it, you like, oh, it's working. I got here. I'm already beating the statistics. I'm locked in. You know what I mean? And you feel like, let me help you. You know, let me help you, especially if you already naturally do that. But what I've seen is there is literally no one size fits all. I mean, sure, there are threads like that communication. I don't care who you are. That friendship, I'm telling you, it can make it better no matter who you are. But I also had to realize, like, our marriage is our marriage. And the answers I give you, I want you to take. Oh, I'm talking about when friends ask and stuff. Take it with a grain of salt. Take it in and use what you can and trash what you don't need, because you're not me and she's not Courtney. You know what I mean? So like take in the stuff that applies to you and can help you. But don't think that that is the end all be all, because your marriage is your marriage. And I saw that my parents have been married 44 years. You know what I mean? And like seeing that too was very helpful always. And they kept it real with me. Like it's not going to always be good. I think that's the trick. So, cause when the challenges come, then it's like, all right, well, this don't feel like it's right. Let me go. Let me roll. You know what I mean?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. So you and Courtney, y'all gotta make about 40 years of marriage before y'all consider anything. Y'all gotta.
I ain't gonna be giving you no advice. You know, probably by when we hit 50, I'll be like, look, this is how you do it. Okay, y'all ready?
I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing. This is so good. You talked about wanting to give up in music. Can you share about anything? How do you check in when something is stressful, or do you get anxiety about anything? Any slivers of depression?
Yeah. And I don't know if I would say depression, anxiety for sure, just because, you know, and it's self-diagnosed, but like, I've been a workaholic, you know, it seems like it is in good spirits that I am that, like, always trying to be ahead and always trying to think of the next idea and do all of that. But I started to realize that maybe I'm trying to block something, or maybe I'm trying to ignore something by just staying busy, and didn't like the quiet, you know, and had to understand that, really, and understand like how to be with myself, you know, and my thoughts, and really work through those and be like, what I got a song that I'm working on called Be Like Water. So that's in my head right now. But it is that. It is not fighting, but like adjusting, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But my anxiety was that overthinking. Always, what if this is, you know, what is that, instead of being present. And and for me, that's what I had to realize, and that I don't have to be everywhere. And no, you don't have to. Oh, that's good. Let them, they got that win. You don't have to also be around. You know what I'm saying? Like, understand what yours is. It comes down to, you know, just being secure in yourself. And that's what I had. I mean, I know I've said a couple of different things, but like, for me,
this has been brilliant. We have uncovered so much in 37 minutes. I'm ready to take this beanie off. This is a moment for me. Overthinking can cause you not to be present.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, anxiety is we're fearful of something that's not even going to happen.
Yeah, that could potentially happen, or
that,
you know,
could.
Yeah.
But most time, it ain't.
It ain't.
Yeah, it can, depending on your responses to it.
But it's not happening.
But there have been some, personally, I've self-sabotaged moments because of overthinking.
Sure.
So it can happen, like I said, depending on your response to it.
You might make it happen. You might make it happen and it wasn't going to. That's the thing. Yeah, I you know, because if it's happening, then you're handling it, right? Like, if it's happening, then you're handling it. So you don't even have to worry about something that you can't control. And what I noticed too is, this is something that me and Rico love talked about, but like, there are things, this is more recent that I've noticed, but like, in that anxiety world, is there may be something that happened to me as a kid, like somebody laughing at me, or like an embarrassing moment or something that hits me. And it's like not even in my, well, I'm not even thinking about this, you know, but it puts fear. It's fear, you know, it puts fear in of something that could happen or something that will happen. And the thing is being present, being present. I had to learn that. And that's been my life, you know, here more recently.
Love it. Y'all, I'm so glad I slept with French braids in my hair last night.
Yeah, hair looks good.
To create these waves, because honey,
it works. You must have known it was going to work. Yeah.
Well, y'all thought hair was going to come off with that beanie. Absolutely not. Absolutely not, honey. Y'all ain't going to ever catch that happening to me, honey. Listen, oh my gosh, I probably just have two or three more questions for you. You mentioned a song called Be Like Water that's in your head. So listen, y'all, whenever he comes on Instagram and says he's working on new music, I throw my hat off for him.
Silly.
I think I gave you a concept about fear and overthinking and control, being a control freak. You could work with that however you will.
Let go. Yes, I appreciate it.
You also
it.
Mentioned one of my favorites ever, Rico Love.
Yes,
I don't know if that means
brother.
You and him are collaborating,
That's my bro.
You know.
More just just friends in life, to be honest. I mean, we have collaborated. He's come down in New Orleans here to Gumbo Studios. That's where I am right now to work on things, and we worked on things together. But really, more than anything, that's just my bro.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, can you tell us a tinge of what you're working on? Is it too early to say when is it coming out so folks can get their coins ready?
It's too early to say that. Yeah. But I am actively working on music. I mean, like actively. And I can say that very soon I'm working on a song called My Peace. Boom, My Peace, right? It says gotta be all about me before I'm all about you. Cause if I don't take care of me, I'm no good to you. I can't sacrifice my feelings no more. Gotta be careful who I let through that door. I'm changing things around this time. I'm doing things that give peace of mind. Mm-hmm. So if you're not adding to my high, I'm gonna have to tell you goodbye. Cause I'm done. Yeah. If you're trying to take away my peace, I'm done. I was trying to get to that hook quicker. I'm like, oh, I'm all the way at the verse. My bad. Yeah, but no, that's so my peace is coming like soon. Woo! It's coming soon. Yeah. So I can't wait for y'all to hear that. Yeah.
Y'all, this trickled my tear ducts. I'm keeping it together. I promise you, on my I just did an episode of my podcast, a solo episode called Checking In with My Singleness. And I was like, you're not competing with nothing that I have, nothing that I own. You're not competing with success. You're competing with my peace.
Mm. Yep.
Do you feel better than my peace?
Man.
I saw a meme that says, if you feel better than my solitude, you can come on in.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good.
Woo! Yeah, that's amazing.
Y'all, he pricked something in my heart. And I'm transparent, something that I've been kind of vacillating the past week or two with a certain situation. but he gave me my answer. You gave me your answer. Thank you so much. So we're excited about new music. And I know I had no business asking when it's coming out because he'll tell us, you guys.
It's don't ask all good.
An artist.
It's
don't
all
ever good. Ask an artist when their music
so
is coming out.
You're so close. I'm so close. Though. I could have almost told you.
Okay, if they ain't announced it yet, but we are so excited. We're excited about what you continuously do in your hometown of New Orleans. I just want to share with everybody, he does have a project. You mentioned in the pandemic, everything was down and you stayed busy. You have Buddy's House Foundation. Mm-hmm. And was that a musician or someone in New Orleans? Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're going to renovating the house, his
That's
house.
Right. That's right. Okay. Yeah. And the house next to it. So it kind of fell in my lap. You know, it's been sort of a challenge because the nonprofit space was just not something I was familiar with. But I just knew my heart and the vision for this project I wanted to jump on. So we've been working on it now for some time. But a buddy Bolden is as the legend goes, he was playing his horn in his house and his mom kicked him out of the house and said, you playing too loud. And he got on his front stoop and played his horn. And the guy down the street heard him like, what? I never heard a horn played like that. They formed the first band that is known to play jazz music, right? And so this stoop is still there. It gives me chills, like to know that this is where he was when this happened. And so my parents, this was around the church. I have grew up around this house, didn't know about it. It was low income housing before Katrina. Mm-hmm. And then the church was able to buy it, not knowing what it was. And I just happened to move home some years after they bought it. And I say, wait, because I didn't know who Buddy Bolden was. Unfortunately, it's not really, that story's not really told. And it's a big story because our jazz music didn't turn to what we know as modern jazz music that went to Chicago and New York, right? Our jazz music turned into R&B music. Fats Domino and those guys, Alan Toussaint, which turned into rock and roll. Elvis was chasing Fats. So what I say is this, the seed that planted American music as we know it. And so what I'm doing is the past house is his house and the future house is the house next to it. So the past house is going to be a small museum and his house as he lived in it. And then the right will be a event center where the kids can come and be members, get free studio time. I want to focus on production, publishing, law, everything outside of performance, because New Orleans takes care of that so well, but we don't teach the business here. So I just really want to get that into kids really early. So that's Buddy's house. And, you know, that's the quick explanation.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Y'all, yeah. He got a song called Buy Back the Block. Okay.
Yes.
So that's kind of not necessarily to buy back the block so that it's like money coming back in your pocket, but buy back the block because you're doing things like making sure kids can have somewhere to learn production, learn about law and business,
yeah,
and up their performance, yeah,
sure,
skills. So that is awesome. Y'all,
yes.
I don't think I have to take up no more of this man's time, because from the minute we jumped on, we got to going.
PJ, we could talk forever, probably.
We can. I'm excited for you. And when you come back, when the project is done, you're welcome here anytime to talk about whatever it is. I don't care what it is.
Thank you.
Matter of fact, y'all, we can have him come back and we'll just like check in with his songs. We're going to break down some of the songs. Maybe we'll do that and get into his mind as a songwriter. There are so many creatives that check in with me from week to week that listen to this podcast. And thank you for being one of my first guests for season 2.
I'm honored.
Yeah,
congrats.
Yeah. Thank you so much. PJ, thank you for checking in.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Told y'all. He triggered my little tear ducts when he started singing some of his new song that he's got coming. Oh my gosh. Oh, I hate when it does that. Y'all, I'm real sensitive. I check my calendar and it's not because it's that time of the month. I'm just in my feelings right now. But the show must go on. All is well. But I'm having a human moment right now. And I feel like I was cutting onions or something. PJ Morton, ladies and gentlemen, did we enjoy that or what? He's so inspiring. I knew he said a few things that inspire you to keep going. I'm so glad that he made that album Gumbo back in 2017 because it truly, truly changed his life. I'm so glad. I'm so glad he didn't quit. I'm so glad you're listening today. I'm so glad that you're still here. Don't quit. Don't give up. And if you did drop the ball, pick it back up and keep going. This journey is not going to be some breezy walk in the park. It's not. People will try it. They will try you. You might even have family to discourage you. The person that you love the most might not support you. Or you'll feel like, well, somebody doesn't understand who I am, so it's not meant for me. I'm going to quit. I'm just going to give up. Absolutely not. You are needed. Your creativity is to fill a void in this earth. So please, 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 please keep going. There's a card that some friends sent that said, warm thoughts can make the sun a little brighter, the sky a little bluer, the world a little nicer. I think I want to say, your presence, your creativity, I'm speaking to you, can make the sun a little brighter, the sky a little bluer, and the world a little nicer. So please, don't give up. We need you, and we love you. I love you. You are loved. All right. Check back in with us next week for another episode of Checking In. Checking In with Michelle Williams is a production of iHeartRadio and The Black Effect. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.